Revelation chapter 20. This was supposed to have been for the middle of the week, but sometimes the body won't cooperate, the physical body won't cooperate with what you would like to get accomplished. Based upon the difficulty of finding anything else, I thought that it might be fitting for the day. I want to speak to you from the third verse, Revelation 20, about Satan loosed a little season. And we'll only read the first three verses to begin with, and later on a couple of other verses in this chapter and two or three other places. But before we read any, would you bow with me as we approach the throne of grace and we speak to this infinite, eternal being that has been pleased to deliver us, or I should say, pleased to be delivering us from our sin into the likeness of His only begotten Son. Would you pray with me? Our Father, let us never take lightly the privilege that we have of speaking to Thee. Still not yet completely saved, only in the process, with much sin, wherein we are to be delivered from, and yet, through Christ, our Savior and our Lord, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. You said our purpose there was that we might find help in time of need. And it is a great need, Lord, when one would attempt to open this book, a spiritual book, and attempt to set forth the spiritual emphasis, the spiritual meaning, and get beyond the letter of the law. No one can do that without Thee, without the Spirit of God, His direction, His guidance, His unction, granting wisdom, clarity, not only that the speaker might be yielded to Him, but that the hearers might be dependent upon the Spirit of God. Open hearts, open ears, give seeing eyes. One might argue that once saved, we have seeing eyes. And it could be a true statement, but we do not always have an awareness of that. And oftentimes we're still looking at the natural through natural lenses, through a natural understanding or mind, and we never get beyond that. But we beseech Thee, O God, that for Thy great name's sake, for the honor and glory of our Savior, for His exaltation, that You might enable us to speak and to hear with hearts in submission to the one that they call Lord. Provide that which is needful and help Gracious, gracious Lord, help. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Couple of 3 weeks back, maybe a couple, the last one that I got out pertaining to the end times was the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Many interpret it as a literal 1,000 years. As our calendar goes from January through December, they say there are 1,000 years. That Christ will set up his kingdom on earth, that the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem, and that once again that they will return to the Old Testament sacrifices. One was telling me this morning that some of the folk that go there where he does were attending other places too where they taught this, and that they were trying to figure out that how they could get that red heifer that is to be presented for sin. I don't know how that one could get there. After seeing the atoning work, the finished work of the Lord Jesus, and that is all that you and I have to rest in, I just don't understand how folk could go back to a literal temple, a literal sacrifice, or offerings. As I mentioned when I was here last, that all my lifetime and the years before I got here, when the pre-millennial view came into being, something unheard of that began to shape up around 200 years ago here in our land. And they taught that there would be a literal 1,000-year reign and that the temple would be rebuilt. But every one of them began from chapter 4:2:20, and they interpret all those things in a spiritual sense. The beast, all that is so darkly stated throughout the scriptures, they apply a spiritual meaning to that. And then they get here in chapter 20 and they drop off the means wherein they have used in interpreting scripture spiritually, and they begin to interpret it literally. So the 1,000 years is not to be understood spiritually. It is a literal period of time. But you can't do that. You can't, if you're going to begin a book interpreting it one way, you must go through that book interpreting it with the same throughout. You just can't change in the middle of the book. Now, my question to them is, if you're going to make the 1,000 years literal, then surely you've got to make the great chain, and you got to make the bottomless pit literal also. But the only problem with that is that Satan is a spirit. He does not have a body, though he may have entered the body of Judas for him to betray the Lord. He does not have a body. You can't get a chain. You can't open the bottomless pit with a key. And for that, what is the bottomless pit? How can there be such a thing as a bottomless pit? Well, we know that hell will be that. There will be a continual falling. I think that only has to be in mind and in there in a spiritual sense. You've got to come to the end of something. There's no such thing as a bottomless, except when you're talking about God. Can't get to the height. We don't know the depth. We just know. But they won't use the key and they won't use the chain literally. So they have no right to interpret as they do. Now you all know 1 John 5:19, the whole world lieth in wickedness. Everywhere you turn. And the whole world, as in Genesis 1:2, it was without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So again, after the fall of man, that's the condition of a man. I use that, but it includes women, boys, and girls. Void, darkness, without form. That was our life. And we, as young people, as we grew up, we got to thinking, okay, when I finish school, then there won't be this void in my heart that I will have accomplished and I will have arrived at something that fills up my life. But a few years after, they find that didn't do it. And then they begin looking farther down the road, and they put other goalposts down there, and when I get there, that will fill up the void. One thing about human beings and our heart is that void can't ever be filled except by one thing, and that is our Creator and our Redeemer. So as it was, again, after the fall of man, that's how the human being race was. Adam had that darkness removed again, but to do so, God had to speak. As he said, let there be light. So he had to speak to Adam. There had to be the voice. There had to be the word of God. Adam, where are you? What have you done? And then there had to be light. Here are two animals. I will take their blood and offer that for a sacrifice for you. I will take their skins and I will make clothing for you. So Adam and Eve were brought out of that darkness by the way that God had prepared. Only thing was all their offspring would come into the world in that darkness. Without hope, trying to fill that void, but they would all be in bondage, the bondage of sin. But the Lord always maintained, even though the world was in darkness, the Lord maintained a little light in one small nation called Israel, beginning with Abraham and Abraham's grandson. Thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. You have power with God. But the rest of the world sat in darkness. Israel might have had light, but all the other nations in the world were in darkness. Like Isaiah 60, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth like the waters. That's how it's going to be. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. That's what would be. Now, there were some Gentiles throughout the old economy that were brought in to the family of God. And then there comes this time, one dark night in a little town called Bethlehem, there is this babe born. We'll find out later. Of course, we know. But the world would find out later who he was and his purpose in coming. Go back with me to Luke chapter 1. We're coming back here. To Revelation. Luke chapter 1. Verse 76, we begin. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now that's John. That's the forerunner. That's the one that will one day point out the Lamb of God. That is the dayspring, the beginning, the first light that might rise early in the morning. But the true light will be 6 months behind. John in age, 6 months older, so it's going to be 30 years, 6 months before that light arises there in Israel. Now, in Luke 1, you also find, or Luke 2, you find those that in the temple saw the Lord, and God had given them knowledge that is the Son of God. The man and the old woman that waited at the temple for the coming. So the world lay in darkness. Light came into the world just like the sun rising in the east. And we'll see later on that the beginning of the gospel there in Jerusalem and spread throughout the world like the sun rising in the east, making its route into the west and then going down. That's the day of salvation. When the Son of God, when the Son arose in your heart, and there was light. Was light. So in a few short years, they had to be short to our Lord Jesus. Though he was burdened with work and sweat to pay for our sins. You're talking about an eternal being. You're talking about one that by the age of 12 he already knew that he was the Son of God, that God was his Father. So what's 30 years compared to him having been here from all eternity? The only difference now is he's got a body that he might become as we. Now that in 30 years, Revelation 6, there's a white horse rider. And he sat upon the horse. He that sat upon the horse had a bow, and a crown was given him. Well, that's the Son of God. A crown given. That's the man, Jesus, coming to full age, completing his work and redemption. And now the crown is placed in the hands of Jesus Christ. But it goes on there in Revelation 6. Said he goes forth conquering and to conquer, like the sun rising. From there, Matthew 4, the people that sat in darkness are great light. Those that sat in the regions of death, a light did spring up there. So after the resurrection now, after the work of Christ is accomplished and the Spirit comes, as the gospel of the Lord Jesus comes to a location, a city, a town, a village, a country, Satan's activities cease, for he's put on a chain. Now that does not mean that he does not have movement and cannot go here and there. It just means his power is now limited. Christ is the Lord. Satan was the Lord of this lower region. But when the gospel light shed went forth, then Satan was bound for a little season, for 1,000 years. Again, not literal, but the period of when of which the gospel would make its pathway from there in the east over here to the west, the last of the nations. Don't you wish there was one other vacant country somewhere that we could get out from under all that's going on here and not have our lives so filled with what we see and hear every day? But we're the end. No other place to go. But at least Satan is bound. Let me say was bound. We'll get there, Lord willing, in a minute. So when the white horse rider rides through, Satan's activity and Satan's stronghold now, he's on a chain, a great chain. I should say, as the gospel went forth in power, when it's just the preaching of the letter only and no power because the Spirit of God has been withdrawn from us, about all that's made in that period of time is Pharisees. But when the gospel goes forth in power, throughout that area, Satan is then bound. But if the gospel does not go forth in power and in the unction of the Holy Spirit, Satan's free. He just changes his mode of dress, changes his disguise. And now he rules over those that received the gospel in letter only, but had not the Spirit working in their hearts. They just enter into a stronger bondage and a greater depth of sin. Woe unto you, Pharisees! You compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, you've made him twofold more the child of hell. That's what the gospel and the gospel in and of itself alone does to people. And so that proselyte, he goes from the bondage of sin to the bondage of self-righteousness. I could name you all are familiar with, none of you here, none that attends here, those that have changed masters, and they went from serving sin and self now to a self-righteous service in the Lord. Sad thing here is not many, well, they're not many saved now, but they sure not many brought from that state of self-righteousness. Why should they be? They're right before God. If you don't believe me, ask them. You say, I don't know any. Well, just hang around, children. You'll run across those. But God made the true ministers able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth. That's Paul, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. So you got the white horse. And he that sat goes forth conquering. You sang about the lady that he conquered down there in Samaria. And so the darkness is dispelled there in the east. Satan is bound, and the white horse rider delivers his people from the bondage of sin. But now as the sun makes his circuit throughout the world, the gospel goes forth in power, in the power of God. And in that, his children are effectually called. But when the gospel has done its work, there follows the red horse. Peace is taken from the earth. There follows the black horse. Poverty and hunger. And then their father follows the last horse rider, pale, and that's death and hell. Now that brings us to Revelation 20, verse 7 and 8. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now from verse 3 that we read together, his first purpose was deceiving the nations. Christ came, bound him, until the gospel would make its course throughout the world. And at the end of that white horse rider, when the gospel has accomplished the purpose for which God sent it, then Satan is loosed out of his prison. What was he doing before he was loosed? Verse 3, deceiving the nations. Verse 8, what is he now doing after he's loosed out of his prison at the end of the 1,000 years? And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So he returns to his previous work. Not bound any longer. And he begins to gather Gog. You'll find that in Ezekiel 38. We were told, I was in my early days, that Gog was Russia. Magog was all the allies that would line up with Russia. And that in reading that, they look down there and they see that little wealthy nation. And it has unwalled villages. Got no protection, they think. And so they, to replenish their lack of goods, this wicked thought comes to their mind, we'll go down there. Again, they call this literal nations, going to the unwalled villages to take a spoil and to take a prey. I hope, if not now, one day you will come to see the foolishness of such teachings. Our warfare, the church's warfare, is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6. It's against principalities and powers, against wickedness in high places, against the rulers of darkness of this world. That's our battle. That's the church's battle. So Satan, being loosed, the gospel has made its, accomplished its purpose, and now Satan goes back to deceiving all the nations again. During the little season when Satan is loosed, you will begin to see the fierceness of his wrath, his anger, and his hatred like never before. Keeping your place here, if you want to, you can read with me one verse in Revelation 12. Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Where is the Christian's dwelling place today? If ye be risen with Christ, then our dwelling place is in the heavens. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, the lost, the wicked, the ungodly, the unbelievers, the self-righteous, the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time to live. That's where we are. They walk on in darkness. They know not. They will not understand. All the foundations of the earth, Psalm 82:5, are out of course. Now, are you with me in that little season when Satan has been loosed? Now, does that mean that there never will be anyone else saved? No. You parents are not without hope. Now it will be just an olive or berry in the top branches, as we're told in the Old Testament. The shaking of the tree has already taken place. But in this time, there will be a convert here and there. But now, if all the foundations of the earth are out of course, where do we begin? Well, let's begin with the first institution God ever made. You say it's the church. Well, it was the home first. The church is of no benefit if the church is not made up of families. In this little season, when the fierceness of his wrath will soon be evidenced, when all the foundations are out of course. You begin with that one that God made first. John read to you about fathers. We provide, we train, we educate in the things that matter. In love, we discipline. It's gone. The mother, boy, this is gone. No worse than the father, though. In godly submission, teaching. Taking care of with that motherly affection. In marriage, submission to as unto the Lord. Nobody's going to tell me. No man's going to tell me what to do. Go on in rebellion then. I told you about my very, very odd friend. Now, some of you are thinking, well, that's the only friend you've got. Very, very odd folks. Well, you're probably true. He and his wife are raising their daughters. The oldest one has just now graduated from college. But they're growing up. They raise them. If you're not married, you have no intention on getting married right now, go on and finish your education. And if possible, choose a career in which, when you have children, you can let it go and come back into the home and be a mother. That's gone. We're not going to raise our daughters like that. We're not going to raise our boys to love, to take care of, to provide for, in love, doing everything they do. And it will not be hard if, when they marry, to find a wife that will submit to that kind of authority, a loving authority. Well, that foundation is gone, children. Unheard of. That has sprang up. Seemed like just within the last year, but I know it's been previously working. In this little season, when Satan has been loosed, the home has been destroyed, and now young people, they just don't seem to fit as their body begins changing. Well, you know what we're doing now? We're providing them an outlet. If you do not feel like you should be a female, then we can operate on you and provide you with drugs and medication that will get you out of that female body. Unheard of. The bigger hospitals in larger cities have been getting really, really rich on butchering up young people. And now it's to the point that they don't even have to tell their parents that they're doing that. My goodness, a young person's going to go through many different mood changes. But leave them alone. They'll settle down. It's not as if God made a mistake when he put them in that body. Well, if you're not satisfied in your body, just change it. Well, let's go from the church I mean, from the home to the church. The foundational stone in a civilized, godly nation. The church proclaiming an unadulterated word in power as God sends forth the gospel in its purity and in its power. And when the church was doing that, we were seeing the young brought to Christ, not by decisional regeneration, but by the power of God. In a church that is functioning, she has the Spirit, and she declares the law of God that men and women could be convinced by the law of God that they were sinners. And that by the law, under the law, if something doesn't happen to me between now and the grave, then I go out a sinner. And they begin searching, but they find no hope in the law. But God did not give the law to bring to Christ until it has had its work. And you see, there's no hope for me in the law. If I could keep it in its entirety, then I could be saved. But the law was just our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law is just preached to bring a need of a Savior in one's life. Demanding, when the gospel went forth in power, demanding in the authority of God a holy walk. Complete obedience. You're not free to choose which ones you want to obey and which ones you want to discard. That's gone at salvation. The law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, strength. Let me meet one that loves to that degree. Doesn't exist. Then, where's my help? Again, the schoolmaster bringing me to the one that did fulfill the law of God. And now, in time, from the point of salvation to the end of my journey here, then the love of Christ is getting to that place it surpasses all others. Does that rule out love for other people? Absolutely not. For nobody will know true love from you until Christ is first and foremost. And then if you love as He loved, why? Then the gospel and the Spirit of God is accomplishing its purpose. But it's gone. He the Spirit. All that's gone. That foundation has been destroyed. Now you got worship centers that have been turned into entertainment cathedrals. True exposition of Scripture died generations ago. Now from the pulpit, you got that little mockingbird up there singing, pleasing the hearers, tickling your ears, never preaching anything that might be offensive to you. He doesn't want to lose anyone. He wants to stand on the fence post on Monday morning and crow of how many he had in church. No more about honoring God. No more about being faithful to men's souls. All this, children, because we are in the little season when once again Satan has been out deceiving the world, all nations. No more God-honoring, Christ-exalting message. Message derived by the Spirit of God that produces true Christians. No, now we've just become super salesmen and we've become great politicians in the pulpits. And then that gets us down to the last place that God ordained for your well-being in society, and that's government. I don't know if I could say any good thing. I honestly don't. Politicians, you can't trust a one. Now, I truly believe that there might be a handful of good men. I believe they're there for the right purpose. But there's no such thing as a statesman anymore. All we got is politicians up there. The only purpose they have there is to get money. And they go in having nothing and they retire 20, 30, 40 years later, multi-millionaires, saying one thing in public, doing another behind people's backs, all for the dollar bill. Politicians, multi-millionaire, stealing money from the needy. Contribute to my campaign so that we can defeat this one, because this is what it's going to do. Stealing money. Boy, this is going to get me a lot of pats on the back. Folks, they've lied to us. They lied to us beginning in 2020, and they passed draconian measures upon us to bring us into bondage. And they put masks on every one of our faces. They said, you got to wear this, knowing all the time that mask protects no one. They knew that. Lockdowns. We've done irreparable harm. Close the school. Children will never catch up. All the time knowing they are only doing this to gain control over us. I know that rubs some of you wrong. Well, I might as well finish it out, hadn't I? I done opened a can of worms. Folk, I had no problem with the elderly. Yeah, that I think I belong to that group. I had no problem with them taking the shot. But when they began passing the laws that we made our servicemen, some of the finest men and women, some of the most fit, that they either had to take that or get kicked out. And then they brought it in school. Young people, the possibility of them getting that was 0.000, almost nothing. And if they did, it was no more than maybe a severe cold or flu. And all the time knowing that. Now, folks, I'll close. I'll get off that. Anybody that will not acknowledge that our country is under the judgment of God has got their head buried in the sand. And I've heard for several years now, well, we can pray and get all this turned around. I'd like to get all those together that have told me that, and it would fill up this building twice over. And I'd like to ask them, what good has your praying done? You haven't changed anything. Evil and wickedness continue to abound. And there have been some good Christians in that group. And we've seen no change. We've just seen evil continue. Until they've about choked us to death with their laws. But folks, it's not them. It's Satan behind them. This is his little season. He knows that he has but a short time. And he's destroyed the home. He's destroyed the church. And he's destroyed government. All God put there for our good and well-being. Turn with me. Hebrews 12, and I'll try to speedily close. Now, folks, I don't ask you to believe. I don't ask you to accept anything that I've said today. But I do ask you to be honest with the Word of God. And I do ask you to pray for discernment, that you can rightly discern the times. Another friend said, explain to me your thought process of the five wise virgins. And I gladly did so. And concluded with this, and it fits right in with this. I was asked this morning that the little season, God is going to gather his people, and we, the children of God, are going to finally wake up and trim our lamps, and the church is going to shine like she did when the Holy Spirit met with those men there in Jerusalem. Now, I don't know to that extent, but I know we're not alive today. I know we're asleep. And the end of Satan being loosed, and at the very end of the little season, after he's gone after the harlot, the big churches and the big boys, throughout the land, he's going to turn and he's going to see that little lamb down there, spotless, loving Christ, and adorned as his bride, and he's going to head after her. And that's when the Lord Jesus steps out of glory to rescue his dear bride. Hebrews 12:27. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. God's shaking this whole thing up. When the dust settles, only the true church And only the true Christians, only those converted by the Spirit of God, are going to be in this thing. Their garment, their lamp lit, their lamp burning, their garment spotless. I'll read this. You can read it this afternoon if you want to. Isaiah 13:10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Welcome to 2022. You don't think that's literal? Not in the least. You let the sun quit shining and this old world's done with immediately. The stars, Revelation 1 tells you, the stars are the ministers. Constellation, just a group of stars made up, joined together. They don't give their light, no light from the pulpits anymore. You know what the sun represents? Psalm 9. You know that he is not shining today. His going forth is not seen. And you know for the fact that the church, the moon, is not giving forth a light. We can't. And that can't ever be in a literal sense, which means it must have a spiritual message to us. Just no more light in the little season. You can't affect anybody out there. Not a one of us can. And these fellows wanting to change the course of America, they can't even change the course of their own church. I do not mean this to anyone here. I have more confidence in you than this. But I believe a great many of those praying today are just like Baal's prophets on that mountain, cutting themselves, jumping up and down, all around, blood running to the ground. I think their prayers are falling on deaf ears. Oh, their God's got ears, but he just can't hear. One day, the messengers of God, ever how many or ever how few, they go stand and cry, "The bridegroom cometh." Those two witnesses are going to have the life breathed back into them, and they'll begin to declare, "Get ready, the Lord Jesus Christ cometh." Now, folk, God still has his church and churches throughout the world. But in many places she gathers. She's just like Elijah was, hidden for those 3 years. Famine all around. We're like the 100 prophets. Our water is sure, Isaiah 33:16. We dwell in the munition of the rocks. In the defense, our defense is of the mountains, in the mountains and rocks. Our bread and our water shall be sure. We're just like those 100 prophets hidden in Elijah's time. They didn't have influence on anybody. They couldn't. They were just like, Noah. When God has gathered his family, he and his family into the ark, and God has shut the door. We're just like Isaiah 26. Enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors. Hide thyself for a little moment until the indignation, the anger, be overpassed. Well, folk out there, well, this can't be true. God has hundreds upon hundreds of churches. And the Lord's proclaiming truth. Through, that might be true. But you and I do not know of one that has any influence in the community, in the town, or in the city. No church. Any influence in this little season, Satan having been loosed. Folk, it's a rare thing if there's even any influence within the walls of the local church. And all that's due to Satan being loosed. I know I've gone over it. And I know, I hope it's not true, but I may have offended. I didn't mean that in a personal attack on anybody, but I can't take back anything I've told you. Nothing. If you can point out to me where I'm wrong, I'll be glad to make not only an acknowledgement to you, but I'll make a public acknowledgement that I was wrong in what I said this day. And I'd love to be proved wrong about this little season. I don't think it's possible. May the Lord hide you in the shelter of His loving care. May God nourish your soul in this time of great activity of Satan being loosed for a little season.